Good morning and welcome to MTSU on the record. I'm Jenna Logue and we're coming to you from the campus of Middle Tennessee State University in Murfreesboro, Tennessee in the studios of WMOT-FM. Come fall 2010, there will be a new minor in political and civic engagement available for students in the Department of Political Science. And the chairperson of that department, Dr. Stephen Morris, is here with us right now to talk about it. This is a minor, however, that is not available to just political science majors. Is that right?
That's correct.
Uh-huh. Anybody can go for it.
Anybody.
The purpose of this is to get people involved in experiential learning, right? This is not just in the classroom learning. This is hands-on involvement in your society and the political aspects of it, right?
That's correct. Primarily, it is experiential based, so that the students are doing internships or they're working in simulations, and these are courses that we've actually offered before. And we have a good track record of placing students in internships. And this just packages it and markets it for non-majors as well as majors.
This is the first time that all of these classes have been put together and assembled in the form of a minor.
That's correct. That's correct. And it plays on a number of different trends. One trend is there's a lot of emphasis nationwide on experiential learning, and so it certainly fits into that. Which gives students hands-on experience. It gives students skills that they really can't acquire in the classroom. It gives them networking skills. So it fits into that, but it also fits into civic learning, if I can use that term. It doesn't matter what major the student is in. Students will always graduate and continue to be citizens. And so part of the idea here is citizen training, but in a newer sense of the term, in the sense that it's important for people to be engaged in society. In order for democracy to work, it's important for students to participate in democracy. And so it provides the skills, the experiences for students to be able to do that once they graduate.
Do you think, looking at the general situation in society right now in America, do you think the post-Watergate cynicism and they're going to do whatever the hell they want to anyway, who cares attitude is beginning to burn off?
No, I think it's deeper now than it was then.
Really?
Yes. And I think in part
the Tea Party and young people notwithstanding.
Yeah. Right. Well, I think that's a sign of it. I think the degree of polarization that we've reached in this country has indicated to people that if you just leave it for others to resolve these political problems, they probably won't be resolved in a way that's satisfactory to oneself. And so therefore, it's important that people get involved, they stay in touch. It's a lot easier to stay informed. It's a lot easier to link up with others of similar interests. It's a lot easier these days to participate politically and to, let your voice be known, let your interests be known.
You mean because
and to be
of
a
technological
part of the solution. Yeah,
innovations?
Yeah, it's a lot easier because of the technology. But also, that cynicism is what creates this growing movement for social participation. And I think, underlying one of the themes that we see, at least in political science, is that democracy doesn't work simply because we have elections every 4 years, every 2 years, ever how often. The democracy actually requires an engaged and active citizenry. And unfortunately, higher education has not done a good job of preparing students for that task. And so that's what part of this minor is engaged in. It's to teach students how to become involved, the tools that they need so that they can continue that once they get out of college. And it doesn't matter what field they're in because every field that you go into has some type of political dimension to it. And no matter what students do once they graduate, they will always be citizens.
Whether it's mass comm, science, business, anything.
There's policies in all areas. Education policy that deals with teachers, that's important to them. But people coming out of the science, there's science policy. And there are organizations, non-governmental organizations, civic organizations, social movements, that play an important role in shaping policy. And, you know, the bottom line is if we don't get involved in trying to shape policy, then others will shape it for us. And quite often it's the elite. And that's where that cynicism comes in, because there's a lot of dissatisfaction in this country to the way things are working, which simply means that we need to try to find another way of making them work.
Anecdotally, in your interaction with students in the time that you've been here as chair, and for that matter, your entire academic career, do you sense a yearning to become more politically engaged as citizens?
I think so. You know, students, on the one hand, they're certainly concerned about their future in terms of what they're going to do once they graduate. Will there be job openings and that type of thing? And on the other hand, they recognize many of the political, social, economic, environmental problems that are out there, and so they become engaged through that end. More and more, though, I think students are recognizing how the two overlap. In other words, the job opportunities that are going to be out there, the new jobs that are going to be created in the near future, coalesce with the types of changes that we make in terms of public policy and the types of things that governments do. And I think this generation is beginning to recognize that. So it's not a simple divide as to this is my professional life and this is kind of my political engagement. On the other hand, I think students now are beginning to recognize that if you don't get involved, say, in environmental politics, then, you know, it's going to create certain problems that we're going to have to address in the future. A lot of students may get involved in environmental or social politics on the one hand, and those may open up areas for opportunities in the future. So I think students now are recognizing it in a much more holistic approach, that both their professional development and their social consciousness and their social activism are linked.
Go over the requirements, if you would.
Okay.
You've got to have your basic American politics and government. That's essential. And then take us into the rest of it.
All right, I certainly will. There's two formal classrooms, or formal classes that we want the students to take. And this is kind of premised on the idea that this is targeted at non-political science majors, although we do expect a lot of our political science majors to adopt this minor. As you mentioned, the American politics course. And then we've added this other course. It's called Democratic Participation in Civic Advocacy. And this is to try to provide some type of theoretical foundation, recognizing that they may not be political science students. So all the political science are going to have is a basic course in American politics, and then this course in Democratic Participation in Civic Advocacy that focuses on what's the different types of participation that's out there, the way citizens engage in their with their government, the role of participation, theories regarding participation, theories regarding democracy and democratic accountability, issues of transparency, all these types of issues.
Is
so
this strictly within the
foundation?
Is this strictly within the context of America, instead of by comparison to the way other nations do their business?
Not necessarily. We want to try to provide in this class kind of a broad theoretical focus on participation. So it will, although it will deal primarily with the United States, the idea is that we want it to be somewhat comparative. Dr. Franklin will be the first one to teach this course, and I think he's going to teach it in the spring. And he's been involved, and he's one of the faculty that's been involved in creating this minor.
And Sekou is a good one. Sekou Franklin is a good one to do this, because he is a community activist
himself
on behalf of promoting green jobs for minorities as a way of lifting them up out of poverty and helping the environment.
Exactly. And so it's his experience that we kind of draw on. But he's also been involved. He went to Venezuela and did some studies on social movements there.
Hugo Chavez.
And so part of the idea is to make it somewhat comparative. So those are the two formal classes that the students have to take. And then the students have a range of options, and we kind of divide these into four areas: skills practicum courses, and this includes civic engagement practicum, which is actually an EXL course, and then our moot court, mock trial, those types of things that have been around for a long time, but now that we've actually turned them into EXL courses. And
EXL standing for experiential learning.
Exactly. And so students, if they comply with the requirements of EXL, they can graduate with that designation. The second area is internships. And again, these are internships that already exist in the department. We have an excellent record of placing and coordinating a number of internships in the pre-law areas, because we have over half our majors are pre-law majors, and so they work in attorney general's offices or Public Defender's Office, Political Campaign Internship, the Washington Experience, which is an incredible program. Students spend in a semester in Washington, Public Service Internship, Legislative Internship here in Nashville. And so a number of different internship opportunities that students can do. It also includes study abroad. This is an option for students, and we want to try to encourage that, particularly with students with any international interest. And study abroad these days is far more than in the old days when it was go abroad and take a class. Now, study abroad quite often includes some type of service commitment, and volunteering or internships abroad are really kind of the new thing in study abroad. So we certainly want to encourage students to do that. And then finally, kind of a community-based research practicum course so they can get out and actually work on a research project together with a non-governmental organization. And so they can actually focus on a real life problem rather than, you know, a very theoretical type of paper. It's focused on a practical issue that community organizations or non-governmental organizations deal with on a daily basis. So it gives students a number of options. And as you can see, you know, over two-thirds of the program is practical-based. It's experiential-based. So it's like most minors, it requires 18 credit hours. Six of those you get in basic formal classrooms. And, of course, the American Politics and Government course counts as a general ed course, so students can also count that as part of their general ed requirement. And if they're political science majors, of course, they have to take additional courses.
Mm-hmm. In the past, Mark Burns has been intensely involved with the internships, but now he's acting dean of the College of Liberal Arts. So is he still going to be involved with that?
Until he tells me he's not, yes. And we're hoping he'll stay involved because he's done an excellent job with that. And to the degree that he can maybe share that responsibility with somebody else, that would be fine. But we do need somebody to kind of take over that. We're also developing TISL, the Tennessee Intercollegiate State Legislature, which has been around, and I think the SGA has been involved in that in the past. And this is just kind of a one-credit hour type of exercise where the students do a simulation of the Tennessee State Legislature. But the department's done great through Mark Burns, particularly in placing all of these students at the state legislature. And we take advantage of the fact that we're so close to Nashville. Mm-hmm. And so we want to continue with that and continue to grow that.
It's not just a simple matter of having these kids go up there and be pages. There's a lot more to it than that.
Oh, absolutely. There's so much more to it. And part of, we're also kind of adding a little bit of rigor to our internship program so that students are doing a portfolio assignment in conjunction with their internship. But they learn the ins and outs of legislation. If we're talking about the Tennessee State Legislature, they learn the ins and outs of a political campaign. If we're talking about a campaign, all of these organizations where we place interns take advantage of the fact that they have these students that are eager to learn and very energetic to do very real tasks. Sometimes for the Tennessee Legislature, you may attend a committee meeting or a subcommittee meeting on behalf of the legislature and actually take notes, and then you have to brief him on it. So you're actually involved in policy. You see how policy is made at that level. In a political campaign, they always need people to help out. And it's far more than, you know, licking stamps and that type of thing. It's actually part of understanding what's involved, and you pick up, usually learn a lot more than you realize in these types of internship programs.
If you're a PR major, for example, I'm sure you would be stunned to find out all the things that an advance man on a campaign has to do to make sure that a brief 10-minute stopover on some kind of a whistle-stop campaign tour goes smoothly and makes your candidate look good.
Oh, absolutely. There's so much that goes on. And so much, and it's part of also when we think about community development and non-governmental organizations, one of the ways that our government has changed over the years is things that government used to do. Now, government sets guidelines and policy standards and then allows non-governmental organizations to implement a lot of the policies. So a lot of the implementation that's done of government programs is done through grants and contracts with community organizations. And so a lot of the real work that gets done for society is done through these organizations. And it may be coming from government funds, it may be coming from government guidelines, but the real work is carried out through a lot of these organizations. And so students are actively involved, and they understand. And part of what we want students to learn in these internships is not just the hands-on approach that they get there, but also to reflect on how their organization is part of a much broader picture. How does it fit into democratic theory? How does it fit in to the role of participation in civic engagement? And so they understand, which is often lacking, of course, in many of our classes, but they understand how the practical fits into the theoretical and vice versa.
What kind of feedback has the department received from the actual politicians and governmental entities with which these interns are interacting?
Excellent feedback. They certainly appreciate the interns. And we have an amazing track record. I mean, Dr. Carrollton and really the minor is his brainchild. Dr. Carrollton and Dr. Langenbach that have been involved in our internship program for so long. It's amazing the number of contacts they've established and in the range of institutions and offices and organizations that they work with to create and maintain and nurture these internship programs. And, of course, we expect that to expand considerably. And so their work in all of this area is critical. So it adds a dimension to the department, and, you know, it builds on the work of this faculty that's doing just an outstanding job in providing these opportunities to students.
And in these cost-conscious times, this minor is in no way a drag on the on either departmental or budget or the college or university budget. In no way.
No,
it's very cost-effective.
Exactly. And this it also is, you know, it's part of the link that the institution, but particularly the department, has with the community. And so quite often we can use those links for other purposes. In other words, we can perhaps go to some of these organizations that host our interns and, you know, get their input on the program, get their input on what we should be doing better. I hope to, maybe not this year, but next year, establish some type of external committee made up of a lot of these people or leaders of some of these organizations where we place our interns so that we have kind of external advisory council that can help us. And, of course, these are some people that would potentially give back both to the department and to the university. So it's part of partnering with the community with the idea that it's beneficial to all. It's beneficial to the students, to the department, to the institution, and particularly these organizations. Because they are gaining access to some of these students. Students are contributing to these organizations in a variety of ways. They, too, are networking so that many of these students, you know, may end up working for some of these places after they graduate. So it's a good partnership.
Are the students setting their aspirations high and wanting to start at the top, as it were, because there's a certain glamour element to some political positions, or are they perfectly happy to get down and do the nitty-gritty, day-to-day grassroots kind of work that is closer to home?
That's a good question. I think that's part of the process of going to college, is you probably start off with these high romantic expectations of, you know, I'll go, you know, I want to be a Supreme Court justice. Well, there's not many openings for Supreme Court justice, which is good. I mean, we all have to have those types of ambitions. I think the key is to recognize that in order to get there, not only do you have to go through all of these steps, but if you don't enjoy the steps, then you're obviously not going to get there. So the key is trying to teach students to enjoy and to learn from these types of tasks, recognizing that perhaps the eye is on the broader prize, but they still have to kind of enjoy what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't enjoy, say, an internship with a legislature, then the idea that, you know, you want to be a state legislature, you know, hopefully right. That is an eye-opening experience. And that too, you know, that too can happen. I've had students that go through an experience, particularly a study abroad experience, which I used to work with a lot, and they say, you know, they come back from the study abroad and say, you know, I hated that. I hated that country. I hated the culture. And I said, well, you learned one thing, and that is you don't want to work there.
Right.
You know, and so at least you get something out of it, even on the negative side.
Yeah. They might want to do the same things that they were doing, but they just might want to do it in a different country,
exactly.
In a different culture.
Yeah. But you have to go through that. You have to learn that type of thing.
I've heard one professor moan that, you know, some kids want to be elected to the state legislature, but they don't seem as interested in the activities of their school board or their city council. That when you come from Shelbyville or Tullahoma or Woodbury, that's where the action is.
Right,
that's where
right,
it all begins.
Right.
And they need to be concerned whether the proceedings are available to watch on local cable access or whether you can get away to watch it in person, that you need to study those governmental bodies in action, too.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, the scope of issues does change. And there's some students, for example, myself included, that may be more interested in international foreign policy, global policy, that type of thing. And quite often find the operations of local government to be less attractive, I'll put it that way, to be kind. And that's understandable, but there are opportunities at whatever level or scope you find of interest, there are opportunities there where you can get involved, even at the local level. So even if you're interested in global policy, there are local organizations that are involved in global policy. And obviously if you're interested in state government, which includes the local government, it's important to recognize that state government includes local government. It's important to recognize what all the scope of state government is, and there's plenty of students and people that enjoy at that level.
I was in mock trial for a couple of semesters, and while mock trial is not one of the activities, along with moot court and mediation and Model UN that you have on here for the minor, it is similar to those activities in that it is experiential learning and it is a class for which you have to enroll,
right,
and you get one credit hour. And something I wondered about when I took mock trial, and I enjoyed it very much, was if there are so many people who value experiential learning, couldn't they find a way to give the student more than just one credit hour? Is there a way to get that jacked up to two or even three credit hours for a valuable experiential learning course?
There is, and we considered that. We considered it strongly. Most of these courses in the legal courtroom procedure, that is the moot court, so it's on here. What we wanted to do, because moot court, mock trial, all of these really require more than one credit hour worth of work, because the students meet sometimes twice a week and they're working diligently within their groups to prepare for mock trial or moot court, and quite often in moot court and mock trial, you know, they're traveling around to conferences.
You put a lot of effort into it.
Yeah, there's a lot of work that goes in. The same is true with Model United Nations.
Mm-hmm.
At this stage, we've kept it at one credit hour with the idea that students that get involved in that will repeat it for credit.
Mm-hmm.
And so we didn't want to close off, if we made it a three-hour course, and then we would have to cap that and say, well, you can't do your entire minor based on 3 years of moot court.
Right.
Because that defeats the purpose of giving them some degree of diversity. So for that reason, we kind of kept it at one with the idea that they will probably repeat it, you know, two or three times, because if you get involved in the Model UN, which I've been involved in Model UN more than moot court or mock trial, is, you know, the issues change, and you certainly learn a lot every time you do it. And the more you do it, I think the more you get out of it. And so we want students to be involved more than one semester and not to view this as just a one semester thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we've kept those at one credit hour, because it facilitates the idea that they will continue to build on that. And perhaps there's a little less work involved after you get past that first semester, because you've kind of laid a foundation for it. But it's still a lot of work. But like a lot of student organizations, you don't get credit for it. So at least now you do get some credit for it. It fits into a minor program, and so you can build on that. And so you can still get, 6 hours, which is a third of the minor, through any of those practicum courses, which would include mock trial, moot court, United Nations, that type of thing.
I suppose the flip side of it, if you're willing to make a prospective employer aware of it, and they probably wouldn't be, is that if a recently graduated young person has any of these activities on his or her resume when going to look for a job after getting the sheepskin, it is a signal, or a prospective employer should take that as a signal, of a person who is not only someone with a quick, deep-thinking mind, mind, but someone who has a very good work ethic, because you have to stay with it.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
you have to be detail-oriented in order to be good at it.
Absolutely.
Whether you're talking about mock trial, model UN, or mediation.
Yeah. And, you know, the same can be said about internships. I mean, the whole idea of internships, you have to pay attention to the details. You have to pay attention to, you know, work schedule. And so it does, you know, provide skills that we don't necessarily provide in a classroom setting. And so, therefore, it complements. And that's the idea of a minor, is that it complements and it adds to whatever your major may be. And in this case, for many of our students, you know, we're also excited about many of our political science majors being able to take this on as a minor. And, of course, for them, if they count any of the political science courses like the American government or the democratic participation course, if they count that toward the major, you can't double count with minor. And so they would just have to take more of the skills practicum or internships or that type of thing. So a political science major could potentially do kind of an entire 18-hour minor based on internships, skills practicum courses, community-based research, which as a political science major, I find that very exciting. I mean, I wish something like this had existed when I went to school.
In addition to civic engagement with governmental entities, what does this minor teach the student about activism with lobbying organizations, NGOs, groups that are trying to make a difference when it comes to environmental reform, political reform, women's rights, minority rights, people who are trying to improve things for the marginalized and the disenfranchised?
Well, I think that's what's so special about this program, and so much of the internships, even though we have plenty of internships, say, in campaigns or in the government office, we also have a lot of internships in community-based organizations and NGOs. And that fits into that broader theme that I mentioned earlier about democratic participation, that students have to be involved in order to make a change within society. If history's taught us anything, that rights aren't given, rights usually, there has to be some type of struggle for rights, to declare rights and to protect rights and to establish rights. And that's what NGOs quite often are involved in. We want our students to be involved in that, to learn how that works and how that's part of democracy. It's not anti-democratic to be involved in an organization that is trying to protect or promote the rights of the subaltern or the ethnic groups or anything like that. That's part of democracy. That's how democracy we view now. That's how democracy works. And so it's important that students do that. And all of the internships that we've had heretofore, we've had a good balance. I mean, we've had internships in the June Anderson Women's Center, Catholic Charities, the Islamic Center of Nashville, World Relief. You know, and so these are beyond the government offices, where we also placed a number of interns that are interested in that type of area. Public Defender's Office, which even though it's within the government, it's still looking after the rights of minorities and ethnic groups. And so we want to place more and more students in those. And this is something that, as you mentioned, Dr. Franklin has worked a lot in this area, and I know he's brought some people to campus to talk to his students, immigrant rights groups and that type of thing, and I'd like to get a little bit more involved with the immigrant rights group. And so, you know, that's part of what we want to do here. We want to get students conscious about these types of organizations, to understand what their role is within democracy and within society, and then to place them with these organizations that they may find of interest, so that they can understand what these groups do. Because quite often, and this is one of the criticisms of political science, kind of traditional political science, is we really don't emphasize that. We emphasize kind of the government and what government does, rather than emphasizing the role of the people. And that's a lot of what working in internships with NGOs is involved in.
There seems to be a great deal of disconnect in some of the rhetoric people use these days. The government did this or the government did that. A sense of it denotes a sense of detachment. When the Murrah Building was bombed in Oklahoma City by someone who was anti-government, Timothy McVeigh, I thought, well, why doesn't this teach people that human beings died? Your next-door neighbor, your friend, your uncle, your relative, maybe your parents, work for a governmental entity. They are the government, mm-hmm. and you are the government, too. Doesn't this put a human face on the government instead of viewing it as this amorphous mass up there somewhere in the clouds that's unapproachable?
Yeah, and it's not only an us them type of mentality, which is problematic because the government is indeed, or it should be us. I think to the degree that we view it in these us-them terms, us the people, them the government, that it indicates the distance that we've created in this sense that they are foreign and they're not looking after our interests. You know, the idea is that the government should be controlled by the people. But the only way to get that to work is through an active and engaged citizenry. And that's why it's so critical to view that, both in theoretical terms and in practical terms. And so, you know, that's the distance that we have to deal with, and we have to deal with that gap. And I think our current political situation and the degree of polarization that we have in this country has furthered that divide. But we have to recognize that it's the people and their involvement with other people in society that actually creates the government. And so the degree to which the government can represent the people is you're beginning to limit that gap or the abyss between state and society.
When I was younger, back during the Cold War, the necessity of being a really good citizen was presented to me in schools with a very sugar-coated dose of star-spangled red, white, and blue indoctrination, because there was an us versus them mentality in the world. Today, in academia, there is a much more holistic approach going on to all this, and you are able to say to people, if you have views that are contrary to current policies, you don't have to march in lockstep. Use your own ideas.
Right.
You are able to do that with these courses and with this minor, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's the idea. We're not going to tell students, you know, you have to get involved in this organization or that organization. We want to be able to give students options. We don't want it to become overly politicized.
Yeah.
In the sense that we're taking a political stand. If anything, the only political stand we could perhaps take is we're supporting democratic participation.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not going to encourage students to get involved in any type of illegal activities or anything like that.
It's more in the sense that it's your society and it's your life.
Exactly. And this is the way, you know, the Department of Political Science, part of its mission is to teach students how politics and society operates. And we can do that through discussion and readings and theory, but we can also do that by throwing them in the swimming pool and having them swim,
mm-hmm.
And having them understand how politics actually operates and how society is involved and engaged and how you get policy issues on the agenda, how negotiations occur, how coalitions are formed. All of these things are important. They can only be gained through this type of practical experience. So politically, we don't have anything in mind other than this is the way politics operates. This is part of democratic participation. It's part of democracy. And in that sense, it's pro-systemic. So in that sense, it's patriotic in the sense that
it
supports the political system.
But regardless of your views, you can do more than just vote and pay your taxes.
Absolutely. And I think that, and that is a political position, kind of an ideological position. And I think that was part of the problem that we had in the past. In addition to what you pointed out during the Cold War, that anything you said against the government was interpreted as disloyalty, is I think part of our ideological view, and it almost borders on arrogance, was the idea that we've got the best government in the world, which most people would tend to agree with. We've got the best government in the world. It works fine, so therefore it doesn't need my attention or my involvement. Mm-hmm. I'll just let it work. Even to the extent of, we have the greatest democracy in the world, so all you have to do is vote every 2 or 4 years. Other than that, just leave us alone and let us work. I think we've discovered that that's not the way it works.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it works, I think, more than anything, for the elite who propounded that view and say, you know, don't bother us, let us deal with policy, and we'll make up, we'll decide what's in your best interest. And I think we've recognized that only through active, engaged citizens, through a transparent government, through an accountable government, will the government truly represent the interests of the people. Because if the people aren't involved, the government's not going to know what the interests of the people are. And if the people aren't involved, if the government does not pursue that interest, the people won't know.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore, I think democratic theory has taken us to that point so that we're no longer dealing with this kind of this minimalist view of democracy, which is simply voting. That's not enough. We kind of recognize now it's not just democracy or non-democracy. It's kind of a it's kind of a continuum, so that we can actually democratize democracy. We can make it more democratic, more accountable, more transparent, more according to the interest of the people. And the only way to do that is through this type of social engagement. And so that's where this minor is coming from. So it builds on these trends, I think, that are occurring within my own discipline, but also politically throughout the world, because most governments now are recognizing, I mean, my specialty is the Mexican government, and we certainly recognize that, yes, you can vote in Mexico, but Mexico's got tons of problems that they have to deal with, and they deal with it through this type of mechanism. So we encourage civic engagement in Mexico as well.
If you are interested in the minor in political and civic engagement in the Department of Political Science, don't just get your toe in the water. Jump in whole hog and be a fully participating citizen in your life and in your society. If you want to find out more, the number is area code 615-898-5460 for the Department of Political Science, 615-898-5460. And Steve's email is sdmorris@mtsu.edu, S-D-M-O-R-R-I-S. You can also go to the website at www.mtsu.edu/political science. Thanks for being with us, Steve.
Thank you, Gina.
This is MTSU on the Record. I'm Jenna Logue. Please join us again at this same time next Sunday. Don't forget, you can check out the podcast at your leisure at mtsunews.com. And we're available on iTunes.